together. John 3:16. Let's do that, all right? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Amen. Let's pray.
Time.
Think about his love. Think about his goodness. Think about his grace that's brought us through. For as high as the heavens above, so great is the measure of our Father's love. Great is the measure of our Father's love. Let's think about his love. Think about his love. Think about his good. Oh, his goodness. Think about his grace that's brought us through.
At this time, does anybody have any answered prayer they'd like to share with us or any prayer requests they'd like to ask?
From time to time, I mention a few things to drive Pastor Bob a little nuts, and so I didn't want to disappoint him. We live in peculiar and unusual times, and I think it's a good thing to remind ourselves to pray for the sick as well as the things that the world's facing. And there have been times in the past when we had some serious problems based on miscommunications, and one was the start of the Korean War, one was the start of the Persian Gulf War, and those are well documented. But it's good to let us know that the Lord is always listening. And I think the song we just sang indicates we ought to be keeping open to prayer and to the Lord's leading. The old saint, Frank Laubach, who died about 3 or 4 decades ago, was a master on the study of prayer. And he said, if the Lord wakes you up at 3 a.m., he said, you ought to pay serious attention to it. Not just for critical, terrible things, but for good things. And he said he thought, in his way of thinking, that somewhere around 3 a.m. is when your subconscious lets its guard down, and you have crazy dreams and so all sorts of stuff, which he said was the subconscious sweeping out garbage. And he said that opens some clear prayer channels. So you get a good urge from the Lord at 3 a.m., you don't know what in the heck it is. Your subconscious may be sweeping out garbage, or maybe he wants you to pray for something. So I just leave that to you today. Thank you.
I just like for everyone to keep praying for Fran. She's still in the hospital, still not doing well. They've given her 3 units of blood in the last week and a half. They don't know where it's coming from, but they, with the Lord's blessing, they'll find it and cure her and send her back home well. And thank you.
Although Pastor Bob's not the $6 million man, I think about that from that show, if you remember, they said we had the technology to rebuild him. But I'm thankful to God that we have the technology to stream Pastor Bob on our screens here, you'll see in a little bit, so that he can preach.
I want to thank the congregation again for praying for our son. He was very seriously ill, realizing we could have lost him, but he was able to come home last night. He's still on IV antibiotics, but thank you again for lifting him up in prayer.
Prayer does change things, changes outcomes. It heals when we ask. We receive not because we ask not.
I got a text message yesterday from Bobby Gwillem out in Arizona, and she said to say hello to all her brothers and sisters at Life in Christ. And I asked her if she and the cats had settled in. She said, well, they're still working on her apartment, but she's living with her youngest son and his family. And she said, and it's all good. So she had prayed and prayed and prayed, and that was a big decision, but she wanted to go. If God wanted to go, or if God wanted to stay, and so she just wanted to say hello to all the brothers and sisters here. So, hello from Bobby and the cats.
I just want to say I've been thrilled to have our son home with us from California. He hates it when I draw attention to him, but anyhow, we're just thrilled. It's been a long time. It's been years, 3.5 years. So I'm just thankful that he was able to come home, and he's stationed at Camp Pendleton. I have to do a little bragging, but he'll be leaving Wednesday, Lord willing. So pray that the weather, because he's driving, pray that the weather will be good for him. So I just want to brag on him this morning.
And all he has to say is Semper Fidelis. Anybody? We have an unspoken request by Nancy. Oh, yes, Mary. Mary, how's she doing? Mary's struggling at this time. She's 94, almost 94, and she's struggling with COVID and other things, so we'll keep her in prayer. Now, I'm going to ask a gentleman here. I mentioned to him briefly. I don't know if he caught what I was saying or not. I was probably talking in his left ear, and his right ear has the hearing aid. But I was going to ask him. I have a lot of faith. I won't say faith in his prayer, but I have a lot of, when he prays, I really believe he touches God.
Let's pray together. Once again, our Father, it's our privilege to come into your presence, to worship you, to find in you what life is all about, to know that you have called us out of darkness into your marvelous light, that while we were yet sinners, you died for us. There's times when we have a hard time comprehending what that really means, that God would send his son into the world, that even though we were enemies, he came to suffer and die in our place, that we might have a personal relationship with our Heavenly Father. So we bow this morning in your presence to worship you, to praise you, and to ask for guidance and direction and leadership for life. We're living in a very troubled time, but you're still the same. And you have promised us you would never leave us nor forsaken us. I think of how you walked with those disciples and you kept telling them you was going to leave them. But he said, It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I don't go away, then the counselor will not come. He is now with you, but he shall be in you. What a powerful statement that is, that we can have the Holy Spirit living in us. And so we come this morning to pray for those who are struggling. We pray for those who have requests. I'm sure there's people here that would have a request, didn't mention it, but you know all about those too. So we bring all of our cares to you because you said you care for us. What a privilege you give to us to come together on your day, your people in your house, to worship you in spirit and in truth, and to find guidance and direction for our lives. Again, thank you. We can never express it, but we're so thankful you know our hearts, you know our motives, you know our desires, and our desires lift up Jesus so that you can draw all men to yourself. Bless us, we pray. Make us a blessing to one another. Send us out into our world to be an example, a living example of God's amazing grace. And we give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen.
I can sing after that. Do our best. But you're right, he cares for us, and that's what this song is saying. That no one has ever cared for me like Jesus. In all of those dark moments and those joyful moments.
Thank you.
good.
Good morning, everyone.
Morning.
Hopefully you can hear me this morning. I have the camera on as well. So if you all look to your right and wave, then I'll know you're there. Look to your right and wave, the camera's there. I have you on my little phone here. I'm assuming we're doing okay, right, Dan? Can't hear you guys, so I don't know if you can hear me or not. Hey, Verna, if you can hear me, wave your hand. Can you hear me? Okay, you can hear me? Yeah, I'm going to go on the assumption you can hear me. So we're talking about change this morning. And if you look at what's happening this morning, you can see this is part of change that we're working on. And we haven't done this before, so hopefully it turns out well. Dan and I came in yesterday and tried to get this thing set up so it would work out. And hopefully it works out well. I didn't want to miss another week. As you heard that Russ announced before, Faith had tested positive for COVID, so I couldn't come in again this week, but I'm going to do the message from here via Zoom. So technology is pretty good, and we'll just see how we go this morning. How many people like change? Raise your hand if you like change. Yeah, not many people. Most people don't like change. We like the same old, same old. And that seems comfortable, but change happens, doesn't it? We see examples of it all the time. When I was teaching at Newark, we had to read a book called Who Moved My Cheese? And it was basically a book that talked about change and how you deal with it. There were four characters in the book. I'm assuming they were most likely mice, since they were living in a maze. And they were content with their lives until one day they found out that their cheese supply was running out.
Recording in progress.
So as their cheese supply was running out, they had to decide what to do. Everybody handled it a little bit differently. One was afraid, and they went into denial. He didn't want his cheese to move, so he stayed where he was. And the problem was his cheese ran out. He eventually died. Sometimes that's us. Change happens, we decide not to do it, and we don't do very well. Roy T. Bennett says, you'll never change your life until you step out of your comfort zone. Change begins at the end of your comfort zone. So sometimes God pushes us out of our comfort zone to make us change, whether that's taking a new job, a new position, getting out of a relationship, whatever it may be. God sometimes pushes us, makes us uncomfortable, to get out of that situation. Well, another character in the book recognizes the cheese is getting low, decides to move a little bit. So he's not really embracing the idea that he has to change if he has to survive, but he only goes as far as he has to in order to get a little bit more cheese. He finds a place with little supply, decides it's good enough, but recognizes the change and doesn't want to change at all. He doesn't embrace it and eventually ends up situation he was in before, where the cheese is running out and he doesn't have a lot of choice where to go. John F. Kennedy said, change is the law of life. Those who look only to the past or present are certain to miss the future. That's kind of a message for all of us, isn't it? We need to look towards the future, what God has for us. The present's nice. The past is the past to learn from. But we also have to think about what's coming next and try to prepare for that as best we can. Well, guy number 3 and 4 explore the maze and find a room full of cheese. They've accepted the change and moved on with the idea that they can't live in the past. They must change if they're going to survive. So guy 3 decides to stay with the new cheese and carries on and goes from there until basically it's going to run out eventually. Rachel Hollis says, moving doesn't change who you are. It only changes the view outside your window. So moving doesn't change who you are. It only changes the view outside your window. So just going from one place to another doesn't necessarily change us. It just means we see it from a different point of view. So change is more than just going to a different place. Now guy number 4 has been exposed to the new cheese, which is basically change, and continues to look for more. He's embraced the idea that he can't stay in the same place doing the same thing and expect different results. He looks at change as a positive thing. He's open to it, and he looks for ways to keep improving and keep learning. Winston Churchill says, to improve is to change. To be perfect is to change often. So I'm surprised that Roland didn't quote that for us this morning. He better brush up on his history quotes a little bit there. But it's a simple book, but a lot of truth. You know, life's full of changes. We can choose to accept them and deal with them, or we can choose to ignore them. It's how we face changes that determines if we're going to grow or remain stuck where we are. We can't keep doing the same things over and over and expect to get different results. Albert Einstein called that insanity. But sometimes we keep doing the same routine over and over and wonder why it isn't working. If the method we've chosen doesn't work, we need to realize that something needs to change. We need to do something different. Have you heard the term kinetophobia? Well, you probably haven't, but it's the fear of change. A lot of people are afraid of change. They like things to be the same, but nothing stays the same except Jesus. Hebrews 13:8 says, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. You know, we know he's never going to change. He's never going to leave us. He's never going to stop loving us. He'll always be there. Even though we change, he never does. When we have Jesus Christ in our lives, change isn't something to fear. It's something to prepare for. Knowing how to handle it correctly makes it easier. Everything that we know changes. If you don't believe me, look at a picture of yourself from 10 years ago and then go look in the mirror. You tell me you don't see change. You know, we know that change is inevitable, but we don't often know when it will happen. This past 2 years has proven that. Things change whether we like it or not. And we have to deal with it knowing that what we did in the past may not work today or in the future. We need to look at things differently, adapt and move forward and trust God to lead us through. Now we know some change is good, and we know that some change is bad. And there are those things we have control over, and there are those things that we don't have control over. Some changes are physical, and some are spiritual. Some changes come easily, and most others are resisted. Most of the time, our lives follow a certain pattern. We don't want to change, even if we know it's wrong, because we think we're comfortable. But are we comfortable doing the same thing we've always done over and over again? That doesn't always lead to growth. A lot of times it leads to being stagnant. Some people resist change, even if it's hurting them, to stay in that situation because they believe it's easier or impossible to do anything else. So that could be an abusive relationship where somebody refuses to get out because of fear or not knowing how. Some people are in a lifestyle of sin because they think they can't escape. They believe there's no hope for them. They've gone too far or it's gone on too long. So why bother? And some people are in a rut in their Christian life where they never seem to grow or see God answer their prayers. They keep doing what they've always done and expect to see something different happen other than what's always happened. So this should be a red flag. You know, if you see in your Christian life that you're not growing and nothing's changing, you don't think God's answering your prayers, you feel distant, you're depressed, whatever it may be, that should be a red flag saying something needs to change. I need to look at my life, see what's going on, what am I doing here, things like that. Maybe a change is needed or a transformation. You know, we need a change in our character, our condition, our function, and our life. In most cases, that can only come from God. But we have a part in that as well. You always hear the story about the person that's in a flood, standing on top of their house and asking God for help. Somebody comes by in a boat and says, get in, I'll help you. No, I'm waiting for God to help me. Somebody else comes by in a helicopter. Hey, I'm here to rescue you. No, I'm waiting for God to help me. You know, those situations, if we don't do anything, what's God going to do? He's not going to throw us in the boat. He wants us to have our part in it as well. There are some things we can change, our eating habits, exercise, hairstyle, well, for most of us, clothing. But there are other things that only God can change. God can help us change our motives, our desires, our character, and our heart. He can help us change the depth of our relationship with Him. But, you know, we need to be willing to ask for help and to embrace it. I don't think there's anyone who's totally satisfied with everything in their lives. Is everybody satisfied with their life? If you are, raise your hand if you're totally satisfied with everything in your life. I don't see any hands going up because I'm watching you through the camera while I'm doing this. No, I don't think anybody's totally satisfied with everything in their life. But each of us sees things we'd like to change, so why don't we just change them? Well, maybe it's because we don't know how, or maybe we're not really serious about it. Let's look at a few illustrations from God's word concerning how people handle the idea of change in their lives. And these are stories that will be familiar to you. We're just going to look at it from a little bit different point of view, possibly. Look in your Bible in Luke chapter 18. We're going to go from 18 to 23. This is about the rich young ruler. And a ruler asked him, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" Jesus said to him, "Why do you call me good? No one's good except God alone. You know the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not murder. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Honor your father and mother." And he said, "All these things I've kept from my youth." When Jesus heard this, he said to him, "Well, there's one thing that you still lack. Sell all that you have and distribute it to the poor, and you'll have treasure in heaven. And come and follow me." When he heard these things, he became very sad, for he was extremely rich. So here we have a man that seems to have everything, yet he knows something needs to change in his life. He wants to know how to have eternal life. He knows he's missing something. He's done everything Jesus said, but something's still not right. Jesus tells him that something is keeping him from knowing him in salvation. He has to give up what's keeping his heart from God. It's his love for wealth. You know, we know wealth's not a bad thing, but it's become his God. So Jesus tells him he needs to change. But here's the problem. He's not willing to do it. He's comfortable where he is with all his wealth. He believes if he does what Jesus asks, he's going to lose everything that he's worked for, and he'll be doomed to stay where he is and not experience eternal life because he's chosen not to do what God told him to do. This man's not going to find happiness. He's not going to find salvation. He's going to die where he is, just like the first person in Who Moved My Cheese. He's not going to embrace change, even though he sees that he needs it. He's not even going to consider it because he's afraid or he's unwilling. So he's going to stay where he is in the familiar, forgiving that which he could have happiness and eternal life. So that's one response we can have to change, is just know what the change is, but refuse to do it. If you look in John chapter 4, verses 24 through 30, we talked about this a little bit last week, the woman at the well. We're going to look at a little different aspect of that this week. Starting in verse 24, God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth. The woman said to him, I know the Messiah is coming, he who is called Christ. When he comes, he'll tell us all things. And Jesus said to her, I who speak to you am he. Just then his disciples came back. They marveled that he was talking with a woman, but no one said, what do you seek, or why are you talking to her? So the woman left her water jar and went away into the town and said to the people, come and see a man who told me everything that I did. Can this be the Christ? They went out of the town and were coming to him. Well, here you have a woman at the well. She comes to draw water. Her life is pretty messed up. She's had five husbands, and the one she's with now is not her husband. And sometimes I ask questions while I'm reading these verses, you know, did the other guys die? Were they abusive? What happened? Well, we don't know. We know she needed a change. And Jesus offered her a new way of life, a way out of her situation if she would just trust in him. He even tells her in verse 26 that he is the Messiah. Now, she seems willing to listen, maybe even change. We don't know that, but we know she goes into town and tells her friends what's happened. So you skip down to verse 39, and it says, many of the Samaritans from that town believed in him because of the woman's testimony. He told me everything I did. So when the Samaritans came to him, they urged him to stay with them, and he stayed for 2 days. Because of his words, many more became believers. They said to the woman, we no longer believe just because of what you said. Now we've heard for ourselves, and we know that this man really is the Savior of the world. Well, you see, the woman, I think she knew she needed a change. She was willing to listen and hear how to change. She even told her friends, but the question we ask is, did she change? Did she commit to it? Did she allow Jesus to change her life? Maybe she began to change. Maybe she did something about her life. But see, we don't know if she embraced Jesus and asked him to change her. She's kind of like the second character in Who Moved My Cheese. She saw a need to change. She did change a little bit, but seems to never fully embrace it. She might have changed for a minute, but fell back to her old habits. Hopefully, she embraced the change that Jesus told her about, but we don't hear anything more about her. We know she told others, and they listened, but did she change? So maybe you feel tired of trying to change. Maybe it didn't last, so you gave up. Maybe you tried it on your own. Maybe you weren't serious. Maybe you failed once, so you didn't bother to try again. But none of us is perfect, and change takes time. So we need to keep at it. We need to be persistent and ask the Lord to help us. Ask others to go through it with you, to support you. Our last character we're going to look at this morning is in 2 Samuel chapter 11. And you'll know this is King David. You know, David really messed up. He saw a married woman named Bathsheba taking a bath on a rooftop. He sent for her and was unfaithful with her. He then tried to cover it up and had her husband killed. But Nathan the prophet exposed him. His sin was laid out before him, and he saw that he was a mess. So he repented, but he still paid a high price of losing his son. So David was at his lowest point and realized he needed a change. He knew he couldn't do it on his own, so he asked God for help, and he embraced it. You look in Psalm 51. It starts out by telling us that it was written after David was confronted by the prophet Nathan. So David turns to God for help. He asks for forgiveness and help, and he tells God that he wants to be different. He wants a change. You know, David sees that he needs a major change in his life. He needs a heart change, a change of motive, desire, character, and a deeper relationship with God. He knew this was something only God could do. And just like the final character in Who Moved My Cheese, David is open to change, and he's also seeking it, and he embraces it. He pursues it. There's nothing he can do outwardly that will get the change he needs. The change has to come from within. It has to come from the heart. Look in Psalm 51, 10 through 13. This is what David says. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and put a new and right spirit within me. Don't cast me away from your presence, and don't take away your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of my salvation, and sustain in me a willing spirit. Then I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners will return to you. Now, everything David is asking here is something only God can do. He needs a clean heart, one that has pure motives and desires. He needs a right spirit, one that wants what God wants. He needs a closeness to God and the Holy Spirit that comes from spending time with him. He needs the joy of the Lord restored. He needs sustaining power. Then he'll be a witness to others. But he has to be willing to accept and pursue it. So we know real change, change to be like Christ, happens on the inside and works its way out. Did you hear that? Change happens on the inside and works its way out. We need to realize that if change is going to be effective and real and long-lasting, it needs to take place in the heart and come from God. How does that happen? It starts with the heart, and then our attitudes, our motives, and then our actions will reflect the change that he's been bringing about in our lives. When our hearts change, our actions will follow. Another familiar passage is 2 Corinthians 5, 17 through 18. It says, if anyone's in Christ, he's a new creation. The old has passed away, and behold, the new has come. All this is from God through Christ. So change begins when we become a Christian. And part of that change is letting go of our past, whether that means forgiving ourselves or someone else. We need to realize that we are new. We're heading in a new direction. If we're going to realize the change Christ wants us to, then we need to keep that in our mind. Just like a butterfly, there's a metamorphosis, a change that is a process that takes time. And sometimes pain, change can be painful, but in the end, it's worth it. We become something new that only God can make us into. God wants you to be like him. But are you resisting that change today and walking away? Disappointed and destined to remain where you are, like the rich young ruler? Are you like the woman at the well, where you've heard the truth and how to change, but did she really fully embrace it? Maybe you stepped out a little, but you've fallen back. Are you like David? You've messed up. You know you want to be different. You see there's so much more that God offers. You want to change, but you know that you can't do it alone, and you want to ask God for help. Have you tried to change things, and you're tired of trying to change yourself? Well, you need the power of the Holy Spirit so you can have a clean heart, a right spirit, a closeness to God, and a restoring of your joy. We all need his sustaining power so we can be what God wants us to be and a witness to others. So it begins with our desire. Be like Jesus. We need to want it. Good change comes out of a good desire for it. A desire to be better and a desire to do better. It follows with our surrender to God to be who he created us to be. Like Jesus said, not my will, but your will. Asking God, what do you want me to do, Lord? I'll do whatever it takes. It moves up, it moves toward asking him to change our hearts, doing what he says. We pray for help. We pray for his mind, and then we commit to whatever it's going to take to realize that change. Mandy Hale says, change is painful, but nothing is as painful as staying stuck somewhere you don't belong. I don't know if you ever felt that way or not. Stuck where you don't belong. You know you shouldn't be there. You want to get out of what you're doing. You hate it, but you don't know what to do. It's painful. Nobody's perfect, but we know that we serve a perfect God. A God who can make us more like him. He can change what we can't, but we need to be willing to pursue it, embrace it, and believe it. No one is too far gone or has messed up too many times that God can't redeem. He can change us from being defeated and ineffective to being forgiven, excited, useful people if we'll ask him and allow him to work in our lives and pursue him. Sometimes God tells us to change things and we refuse. Or we say, God, don't go into that room. I don't want you to see that I'm keeping that for myself. God says, I want to see what your whole life's about. I want to be in every area and help clean up what needs to be cleaned up. Question is, do you want and need a change in your life today? Don't let the old self keep you from God and the person you want you to be. Don't let perceived comfort or fear paralyze you from moving forward in your life for the Lord. For God's here waiting for you to ask him for help today. Question is, will you meet him? Will you ask him for help? Will you embrace his change? As we close in prayer, I'm going to ask you all to stand. Everybody stand up. Can you hear me? Everybody stand and close your eyes. If you want God to change you today, I just want you to raise your hand. Just raise your hand, put it down. And before I pray, I'll think of you. And we'll ask God to help each one. So let's just pray this morning. Father, we just thank you for being with us this morning. Lord, we're talking to you today. We're asking you to help us change, to be different people, be better people, to be the people that you want us to be. We thank you for your guidance and your direction, for your power, for your strength, for your will. You know, life is about change. We know you never change. You're going to be consistent. You're going to be there with us. You're going to guide us and direct us and help us through whatever situation. But Lord, you know, there are those who have raised their hands this morning who want to change, whether it's their relationship with you or others or themselves, whatever it may be, God. Help them to be the people you want them to be. Help them to start that change today. Guide and direct them into what that may be. And for all this, we give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Hope to see you all in person next week, actually.
Change my heart, O God. Make it ever true. Change my heart, O God. May I be like you. You are the potter. I am the clay. Mold me and make me. This is what I pray. Let's sing that together. Change my heart, O God. Make it ever true. Change my heart, O God. May I be like you. You are the potter. You are the Pastor, for the words today. Let's reflect on those verses in Scripture today as we get the opportunity. But everybody wave at Pastor. Say we'll see you next time. He look good that way. Yeah.
Recording stopped.
Yeah. All right. Thank you. God bless you.
new book?